From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, U.S. tactics and strategy in Iraq. But our lead today comes out of Washington, where the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the main pillars of the campaign finance law known as McCain-Feingold. The court says the ban on the unlimited donations to the political parties from corporations and unions and wealthy individuals, this is what's called soft money, this ban is constitutional. In the same ruling, the court upholds restrictions on certain political ads that air late in a campaign. Joining us now is NPR's Peter Overby. He covers money, power, and influence there in Washington. Hi, Peter.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
Thanks. This is what they call a defining moment in campaign finance law and practice, isn't it?
It is, and if you're on the side that was supporting the law, you're calling it a milestone in driving big money out of politics. And if you're on the side that was opposing the law, you call it an unmitigated disaster, which is what the lawyer for the National Right to Life Committee said today.
So tell me what matters most here.
Well, there are two core provisions of the law. One bans soft money. It basically gets the national party committees and national office holders out of the business of going to corporations, unions, and rich people and hitting them up for five, six, seven-figure contributions. The other core provision puts restrictions on funding for what are called issue ads. Those are those ads that run during campaign season, and they don't say, you know, Joe Doakes is a great candidate, vote for him. They say, Joe Doakes' opponent beat his wife. Call that guy and tell him you don't want a wife beater in the in office. Those kinds of issue ads can still continue, but they have to be paid for with small contributions, which makes them much, much harder to do.
Was there a part of this McCain-Feingold law that the justices struck down? Is this kind of one of those divided rulings?
Just barely. It was a 5-4 decision, but essentially the only significant part that they struck down was a ban on contributions from people under age 18. Now minors will be allowed to give money again.
Huh, well, that's something. This is closely divided, 5-4. How does it fall out, and are there any surprises there?
It falls out pretty much as you'd expected. Those in the majority were John Paul Stevens, Sandra Day O'Connor, who was really the swing here, you could see that during the oral arguments, David Souter, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Stephen Breyer. And the dissenters were Chief Justice William Rehnquist, Antonin Scalia, Anthony Kennedy, who was also possibly a swing but turned out not to be, and Clarence Thomas.
So how does this change things for the coming political season, Peter? This is we're really in the political season now, at least at the beginning of it. Is this going to change what happens? Will the candidates have to scramble in some way new?
Well, the candidates have already been scrambling because the law actually took effect starting after the last election. So they've been playing under the new rules. For instance, the presidential candidates got their contribution limits doubled under McCain-Feingold, and so they've been raising $2,000 contributions instead of $1,000. The immediate impact comes for the outside groups. For instance, the restrictions on issue ads right now affect groups that would be advertising in the Iowa and New Hampshire presidential contests.
So they might already be buying ads, and now they're going to have to pull that money back.
They would have been hoping to buy ads because the ban was in effect pending the decision. Now it's confirmed that they can't go ahead and do what they had hoped to do, what they would have been doing 4 years ago.
Politically, is this a victory for one party or the other?
Boy, that is hard to parse. In the short term, it's a victory for the Democrats in that they were advocates of reform, and it's a victory for the Republicans in that they raise more money. You look at the George Bush campaign. In 2000, he raised more money than anybody ever had before running for president in $1,000 contributions. Now he's raising money in $2,000 contributions. This is not a bad situation to be in.
For this next year, Peter, does this affect what President Bush and indeed the leading Democrat, Howard Dean, does this affect them? Because both of them have opted out of the public financing part of the political campaign.
It doesn't affect them directly. The McCain-Feingold law did not deal at all with the public financing structure. So they are going ahead with their fundraising, which for each of them has been very effective. Bush is raising maximum contributions in record numbers. Dean is raising small contributions in numbers that no other Democratic candidate is doing.
All right. Thank you. NPR's Peter Overby reporting from Washington. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.